The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to America's Web Radio with Mark the Shark with Bite of Reality coming to you live from New York. Well, once again, it's another week. The time is speeding up, or it's just chaos making the world seem like it's going faster and faster, spinning down and down, further, further. It's one of those things in life where you can't figure it out until it's too late. It's kind of like washing a toilet bowl. When it spins around, all of a sudden it's gone. It's like the earth. It's like the world. Climate change, China change, North Korea change, Iran change. And don't forget the Russia change. Because when you go to the grocery store, you have no change left. Yeah, that's what hope and change is, right? Remember Obama? But anyway, before we get back to my reality, we're going to jump right into Bite of Reality with Rhyme Time, my favorite part of the show, of course. In a world gone mad where reality's askew, chaos and violence like an unruly crew, the loss of common reality, a perplexing feat, in a symphony of absurdity where confusion we tweet, the GPS of truth now lost in translation, a comedy of errors, it's now a global sensation, common reality now a relic of the past, chaos and violence, their shadows now cast, in the realm of reason a wild ride carousel, it's spinning fast, and down the rabbit hole we fell. There's no common ground, just a never-ending slippery slide. The chaos and the violence, and this so-called lack of reality ride. A reality show, but no one's in sync. A comedy of chaos, where absurdities, world destruction, we are on the brink. The reality scripts have been lost, the world actors ad lib. In the theater of turmoil, where chaos is, in our crib. No common thread exists to weave the tale, just confusion and violence already setting sail. The GPS rerouted, lost in the ether, chaos reigning with no sign of either. In the land of reason, now a distant star, chaos and violence, like an intersection unruly car. No blinkers for sanity, no road signs for society in sight. In this carnival of craziness, the world is a chaotic delight. The loss of common reality, just a whimsical excuse for the antics of chaos and violence, a comedic ruse. Out of control violence, the punchline, is this cosmic joke? As common reality fumbles, stumbles, and the world is now broke. So let's laugh in the face of this pandemonium, a world, a comedy of errors, a chaotic mix of sodium. In the circus of confusion where absurdity prances, chaos and violence, the jesters of lost common reality's dances. In the realm of righteousness, violence, and turmoil, comes an idea which stands. Now put on your head the tin foil. In the kingdom of concepts where ideas were intertwined, two warriors emerged in a fight now so divined. One in violence fierce and unrestrained, the other is righteousness noble, and I wonder, can it be sustained? The battle begins, you never thought it wouldn't start. The world's youth seems to have had a massive brain fart. There can be no normal when your youth fails to use their brains. There is no sense left in our claimed education. There is no sanity that remains. In the shadows we hear the whispers, violence takes the stage. A tempest of fury, there is an unrestrained rage. Left in its wake are scars and shattered dreams, a symphony of chaos tearing at the entire world's seams. Yet across the battlefield, righteous stands tall. It tries to be a beacon of hope against the terror's nightfall. With a shield of virtue and a sword of might, it faces the violent tempest, but is it ready for the fight? In the fields of debate, the clash takes its toll. Words become weapons. The world has lost its soul. Violence shouts loudly, bullets fly, drowning out the wise, while righteousness speaks with sincere truth in its eyes. The left and the right is in a political war. These ideologies clash, leaving scars across the world galore. Violent shouts from the left and the right, trying to stand guard. As righteousness strives for a peaceful solution, the radicals must be barred. This is a reflection on humanity. It's a very dark time. The world's caving in. If we don't stop it, soon it will be covered in radical slime. In the mirror of history, this reflection is clear. Violence stains the pages, drawing many a tear. From revolutions to conflicts, a relentless tide, while righteousness strives for peace far and wide. But can the two coexist? Can there be a common ground? In a world so chaotic, where one side massacres you, can harmony ever be found? The answers may lie in the dark hearts of humankind, choosing between chaos or a path where sanity can be aligned. But in the inner struggle and the strife that is so insane, we used to have some sense, even to know when to come in out of the rain. Within ourselves, the battle is fought between anger's embrace and any history lessons they forgot to be taught. Violence tempts us, a dark with a seductive song, while righteousness guides us where we should belong. Left and right, the evil conflict within our very core, which is winning a constant struggle forevermore. To choose the path of virtue or of the might, in the eternal battle that rages day and night. Now we have lost the harmony of balance that we had. I fear we are doomed in this path, but no one on the left seems sad. Yet as the tapestry of life holds, a truth unfolds, a delicate balance, a reality story that must be told. From within the chaos can we find a seed of hope. Righteousness blooms after evil is destroyed, helping humanity cope. In the dance of existence, is there a delicate ballet? Left and right can kill each other or find a better way. For this world's violence left unchecked leads to our demise, while righteousness nurtures, evil does not help us rise. In the end, we have to make a choice, strive for a world refined, where the left and the right are joined, normalcy restored and intertwined. Not in violence and strife, but in unity, embracing the righteous, evil destroyed, setting the radical minds free. So in this grand symphony represented as dark and light, may righteousness stand strong against tyranny, guide us to again shine bright. In the balance of forces, in the ongoing eternal fight, we have to find a path where somehow the world against evil can all unite. In the tapestry of existence, a paradox unfolds. Our southern border wide open, yet this, a story in the mainstream media, untold. Who's knocking on our southern door? We say we implore, but no one seems to care, and the silence we still ignore. In a world of open borders where shadows at night dance, the hinges usually creak, leaving room for an illegal entry chance. Who seeks entry? Border Patrol won't ask the question, they just stare. But the border, the southern border remains open, the frame of America broken and laid bare. No good, more evil, just a border open wide. This is insanity personified, inviting all who just come across and come inside. Now there is no one knocking. They just come. The crowds of illegals grow. The silent invitation, come on, come all. Biden has continued the unabated flow. In the corridor of questions and echo, no replies. No one is knocking. The growing apathy and the lies. Wide open, the border, this administration stands alone. This is not good, just an enigma. As to why, the truth will not be known. In the stillness, the administration's indifference takes its seat. No one cares, the mounting dead with no heartbeat. Yet in the hollowness of the White House, a tale is again spun. Of a wide open border, they say it's closed. We are seeking the truth from someone. No one cares, and so the lies continue to flow, it seems. In the land of America, not even illegals can find now the American dreams. The doors of our border swing freely in the Biden breeze, an emblem of silent destruction as the soul of the radical left he does appease. Beyond the possible threshold into new realms unknown, no one is knocking anymore. Are the seeds of destruction of our country now sown? Wide open, the border reveals the depth of the abyss. Not good at all, just a poignant death kiss. The sun now rises on this path, a broken, a path untrodden, a journey to a realm not soon forgotten. No one cares, or so it appears. in the realm where illegals keep coming. Into the silence, off course, our policy veers. In the realm of laws and politics, things have gone astray. The law has failed Lady Justice. She sheds tears for what is going on today. In the halls of justice where fairness should sway, a shadow emerges, a political lawfare is at play. There is no justice, the real experts declare. Not lawful anymore, this path we now share. The gavel's echo has brought forth this terrible flight, where justice has flown the coop, now out of the courtroom's sight. In the courtroom's hush where justice used to prevail, a gavel of chaos echoes, its judgment now askew. Let's follow the trail. Yet a murmur still lingers, about the first subtle sense of the disarray. In the dance of politics, that murmur will be silenced, where laws meets the fray. No scales are now in balance, no blindfold was too tight. Political lawfare distorts the justice systems, now very clouded sight. There is no justice, the echoes and the facts say, as the gavel of chaos falls in an almost dubious type of ballet. In the corridors of the courtroom's power, where decisions are spun, political lawfare, a dangerous dance, has against us begun. The scales of justice now tip not with truth, but with political might. A serious and tragic deviation from justice, this is a perilous plight. Not lawful anymore, the facts, the truth, and voices of whispers now grow, as wrongful influence of politics now dictates of justice the ebb and the flow. Now stands no blindfolded Lady Justice, impartial and true. In the realm of radical politics, there is now a completely different view. Once pillars of justice so strong and high, now weakened and frail. In the political storm, they sway and their grace now pale. There is no justice, the pillars sigh, as the law becomes a weapon, just a pawn in a political sky. Not lawful anymore, the legal foundation now crumbles. As political winds sow discord, the system falls apart and stumbles. The scales of justice once steady now teeter and sway. In the lawfare's war game, a now very precarious display. The erosion of trust in justice has dire consequence. We know not what we do when we ignore justice and evidence. In the hearts of people, the trust now erodes, as the once mighty justice succumbs to this infestation, the political codes. No justice, they chant, a disheartened choir, in the lawfare's game, a dwindling justice pyre. Not lawful anymore, the political infestation has grown strong, as principles fall to destroying our ideals. Something has truly gone wrong. The courtroom sanctity, now an embarrassing shell, tainted and frayed, in the political storm where truth, justice, has now been swayed. The echo of distrust now inevitable a result. We, America, let this happen. Remember Biden, who said he was going to be the adult. Through the courthouse corridors now echo the pains of doubt. No justice is being served. The people now cry out. Political lawfare now a sinister tide, eroding the principles where justice should have been now bide. There is no justice. This must now be the rallying cry, as the law becomes nothing but a sham, a political ally. Not lawful anymore, the lament must loudly resound in the heart of the system where justice used to be found. But in the face of despair, a call must be made to renew the foundations of justice to start anew. No justice transformed. It must be a hopeful plea to restore what was once, to set justice free, a return to true lawfulness, a path no longer raw, away from the shadows towards justice and back to the principles of law, a rekindled flame in the hearts that from whence we did stray, for a justice reborn must be in the light on full display. As the pages must turn of this dreadful chapter, a reckoning nears, a shift in the winds of the law, allaying the people's fears. Political lawfare, its grip must start to now go away, as true justice must again awaken and bring a brighter day. Not lawful anymore, transforms to a cheer, as the echo of justice again becomes crystal clear. In the courtroom's halls, a fair wind must now blow, dispersing the dark shadows, where only political justice now does put on a show. Facts don't matter anymore, the TV voices proclaim. In a world unmoored, Is this just a serial game? In the dance of crazy ideas, this twisted ballet, crazed and confused, truth now led astray. Facts mere spectators in this peculiar political show, lost in this madness, where any reality bows low. Facts don't matter, the refrain is clear, in the cacophony of chaos, where reason is insincere. A masquerade of notions, a surreal lore. In this now topsy-turvy world, is this the new formal forevermore? Once woven strong the tapestry of truth, now frayed at the edges, it's perplexing to be a sleuth. Crazed and confused, the threads now unwind. Facts adrift, lost in the recesses of the sanity of the mind. In this maze of madness, reality distorts, a kaleidoscope of perspectives of any and all sorts. Facts don't matter anymore, the mantra chants, in the corridors of chaos, where insanity rants. The echoes of absurdity, a relentless sound, crazed and confused, the world now abound. Facts don't matter in this discordant choir, a cacophony of disbelief, fueled by the fire. In the theater of reason, the stage now ablaze, truth stumbles and falters in a bewildering maze. Facts don't matter anymore, the echoes still persist, as reality shape shifts, such a puzzling twist. In the desert of uncertainty, a mirage appears, crazed and confused as doubt interferes. Facts like water elusive and sparse, in the mirage of truth, now just a deceptive farce. Facts don't matter, the sands of time do declare. In the heat of uncertainty, truth and justice is in despair. Now a thirst for knowledge, a desperate call, lost in the desert, where illusions enthrall. Anchors of reason once firmly grounded, now drift in the currents, profoundly confounded. Crazed and confused, the compass wildly spins. Facts tossed like leaves in the tempest's bin. In a world where echoes of diplomacy sing, a tale unfolds of Xi and Zhou, a peculiar country's fling. Xi and Zhou, a duo the whispers confide, a narrative woven where two worlds do collide. Xi, a figure with power so profound, in the vast expanse where his unchallenged decisions resound. A leader on the world stage, both grand and wide, with a vision and purpose for the PRC in history's stride. Zhou, a mere shell of a man, now falling off the stage. It's really a question of competency and not about age. Yet destiny beckons an improbable decree, a stark vision of contrast between Zhou and Xi. Again in the corridors of politics, a coordinated duet, one leader on high and the other one needs a reset. Xi with behind him the weight of a nation's decree, and Zhou seeking the teleprompter and never getting the third degree. A dialogue may unfold, a diplomatic rhyme, between the eminent leader of the PRC and one president no longer in his prime. Xi and Zhou seen as an unexpected pair. In the intricate tapestry, they spin this meeting, not a blend. That is rare. So let the world ponder this curious blend. Xi and Zhou, where their actions, not their words, will transcend. In the vast theater of possibility, I always fear the worst. As Xi courts our technology, his world domination plan, his insatiable thirst. So life, it's just a game, and the end is very near, I said. It's time to get up and get off your butts, time to get out of bed. Reality won't wait for you, and Biden can't catch up. The way things are going on Earth, looks like we'll need to break out the backup. Our southern border is still open, and no one's in charge really cares. This rhyme time now keeps saying every week, we have to start the repairs. This country and our society is now out of control. This is with the Biden administration. They let the criminals out. They're now on a roll. Do what you want. This is not the answer. And take care not to let us see. You attempt to burn the American flag, you'll then have to flee. Coming to the end of rhyme time, gotta hit the main show. So stay tuned to this station. We have a lot of knowledge and fun about the flow. That's what I love about rhyme time. I can give you the balance of power. I just basically gave you the entire world in a rhyme. I find that to be scintillating, perhaps. But you know what bothers me this week? I had a lot of talk with people about what was going on in this country this week. And there seems to be a tension in this world, in this country, a division of violence and righteousness. There seems to be that loss of a common reality in the world. It's resulted in a chaos. There's such violence, hatred. There's basically a complete breakdown of what was called societal norms. And why do we need a functioning society? Well, I'll tell you. Because otherwise, the world no longer exists. It doesn't. And you know, one of the things that someone pointed out to me this morning, a very dear friend of mine, she taught for 36 years. And she told me this. When you don't teach history properly, you're destined to repeat it. And she's right. We're seeing it again. We are seeing what's going on again. Remember the Biden National Security Advisor? It looks like a 14-year-old Jake Sullivan. He's a complete imbecile. Like this administration, the commander-in-chief. There are things that baffle me about what they do. And listen, I think you all know Biden wasn't my choice. And that's okay. I respect what you guys did, and I respect what America did. If America chose him, we were sold a bill of goods. That's okay. It's like buying a package. Well, lately, these days, you just steal the package. It's like stealing a package out of a Federal Express truck and not knowing what you're getting. Well, we got sold a bill of goods. We had no idea what we were getting. We were told we are getting 50 years of experience. That was what we were told. Well, 50 years of bad experience is not what we needed. And I'll tell you again, to the Biden administration, this is a lawyer talking to you with some free advice. When it's free, you should take it. Deterrence has a meaning. You clearly don't understand it. You know, when we didn't understand something back in the old days, we went to the Encyclopedia Britannica. We didn't go to TikTok. No, we didn't go there. Why? Because it's not reality. There's 30 different people who post stupid things up there. And then there's 3 million people who say, that's true. That must be it. Those are the people who are going to be running this world. And most likely the planet, if there's one left. In a few years. Hopefully I'll be long gone by then. But I can tell you this much. These people have no clue what they're doing in foreign policy. There's a word, deterrence. They should look it up. What does it mean? It means that you are stopping something from happening before it starts. Now, we clearly didn't understand that in Afghanistan. Okay, did we learn something from Afghanistan? We have the same generals, same Secretary of Defense, the same administration, the same National Security Advisor. They're all there from that debacle in Afghanistan. Wow. No one lost their job. No one was reprimanded. The after-action report was cleaner than my laundry when it comes out of my high-efficiency washing machine. So what did we learn? Well, this week we lost another 5 servicemen killed in an aircraft crash accident, quote-unquote accident. Well, we would never find out if it was shot down anyway. Because our government, remember, they were the most transparent administration. That's what we were promised. Well, I can tell you this much. It's like a brick wall. And the media in this country has no respect for the American people. They were set up to be the watchdogs, and I say this every week, and they are failing miserably at their job. So here you go. He said the week before the October 7th attack, we don't even have to be in the Middle East anymore. Things are so calm. Are they blatantly dumb, or are they blatantly unaware? And honestly, I'm not sure which is more dangerous. But you know what? You voted for this administration, okay? So this is what you voted for. You voted for world terror. You voted for world chaos. You voted for 3 wars. You voted for the world burning now. You voted for a feckless president who's sitting in Rehoboth Beach on vacation while the world is being attacked. But, hey, our servicemen, oh, wait, it's only 58 attacks, or, well, since this broadcast started, it may be more. But it was 58 attacks. And what'd we do? We blew up a hut and a couple of camels. Great idea. Good job. Way to go. You know, if you recall, the difference. And I know, you know, here we go. The Trump derangement syndrome is going to start with the rest of you left. But here's the deal. When Xi came to town with Trump, went to breakfast with him. I believe it was breakfast, a meal of the day. I'm surprised he didn't take him to McDonald's. But Xi and Trump together. So here they are. Trump excuses himself, goes to the Situation Room or wherever they didn't tell you where he went, but you know what? He orders 79 Tomahawk cruise missiles into Syria because of the threatened attack. And then he comes back to breakfast with Xi. So what did Xi learn from that? Xi learned that when Trump says something, he's going to do something. When you cross a red line, it's not a red line in the wind like Obama used to do. And Biden doesn't understand that either. Remember? What did Biden say? Oh, that's right, that word, don't. Maybe it translates differently in Persian. Maybe it translates to something different in Arabic. We don't know. We're not sure, right? Because clearly they didn't get the message. 58 attacks and we blow up some camels in a hut? Are you kidding me? What did Trump do? Oh, that's right, General Soleimani. He's no longer here. That's right, he's left the building and the world. So when you tell me about deterrence, learn from history. Learn from something. Listen, you hate the messenger. You hate the way he spoke. You hate the way he talked. But his policies for America were the best. When you compare him to Biden, it's like comparing Jell-O to a brick. So we're looking at a serious problem here. And let me tell you what's growing on here. What's growing in America? Because we're missing the point right now. We are missing what's growing in America. And that, my friends, is going to cause a horrible, horrible problem. And it's doing it right now. You see it before your eyes. And it's going to start at Cornell and MIT. But we're going to take a short break. Don't miss this right after. I'm going to let you know what's going on. Stand by.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/America's Web Radio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@americaswebradio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with America's Web Radio, Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. So right before the break, I teased you. That's right. That's called a tease. So right before the break, I was talking about what was growing on our campuses in this country. You know, sometimes I wish I was a gardener. Because I'd recognize when weeds are growing in the garden of our colleges. Because we seem to have missed what's going on. And it just, for years, it's festered. And I understand, listen, I don't blame it. Obama, Bush, Trump, and yes, Biden. Why? Because no one did anything about what was going on. They figured, hey, it's in campus. What's it going to do? Well, guess what? What's the goal of college? I know, to forestall 4 years of reality. No, it's not. It shouldn't be, but it usually is. But on the other hand, college is to give you an education. But what did we do now? What are we doing? We are teaching people not how to think, but we are teaching people what to think. People are not thinking for themselves anymore. That's a real tragedy. The one great thing that made America is we thought for ourselves. Remember independence? Remember those 13 little states that stood up against the Great Britain? The British, remember all that? The Empire of Britain, taken over by a little country. Well, it wasn't a country at that time, but a bunch of states. They said, we've had enough. Well, the world has to say we've had enough. We've had enough of this. So here we go to MIT, okay? Massachusetts Institute of Technology, I believe it's called. It should be the Massive Institute Tutorial or the Massive Idiot Tutorial. So Sally Kornbluth, who's the MIT president, they originally said that the radical Hamas protesters, and let me just, listen, let me make this very clear at the beginning so no one comes and says, oh, you're anti-Palestinian. No, I'm not anti-Palestinian, not at all. Now, let me differentiate for those of you who have gone to college in the United States and who have been taught what to think and not how to think. Let me make it clear to you, as they say from the White House. Let me be clear, okay? Hamas are not Palestinians. Hamas are murderers. They are terrorists. Hamas are not Palestinians. I'll say it again for those of you who are deaf, dumb, and blind, or attending MIT and Cornell. Hamas are not Palestinians. They keep the Palestinians down. They have destroyed the Palestinians in their own homeland. Okay? Now, by the way, guys, Israel hasn't been there since, I think, 2006. They've been running their own deal. So they took out the PLO and they put in Hamas. And guess what? Now Hamas controls Palestine. It controls the Palestinians. It made their lives miserable. Okay? But we're not talking about that. And we forgot about October 7th. Don't even get me started on that. Okay? If you want to listen to what October 7th was, listen to the last 2 weeks. We're up on all the media platforms. But this is the problem here. We forget about history. We've forgotten everything that we're doing. So the MIT president, Kornbluth, backtracks. They had a violent protest on campus. Well, wait a second. Is this a macroaggression, a microaggression? Or is it just educational imbeciles? Well, let's call it a macroaggression so that maybe we can differentiate it from people who need safe space and crayons when somebody calls them the wrong gender. So let's call it the macroaggression. So let's call it really threatening and destroying the country and making Jewish students uncomfortable on campus, pushing, shoving, physically making contact with students on campus. Now, used to be, if you looked at someone the wrong way on campus, they felt threatened, you were suspended. You were done, okay? Ooh, if you called them the wrong gender, forget it. You were hung in the quad. So they threatened suspensions if students refused to leave, right? After the deadline. They gave them a deadline. They let them protest. Listen, there's a difference in this country between protest and violent protest. There is a difference between speaking out and violence. And if you don't get that, like CNN, mostly peaceful protests at the BLM riots, remember that stunning lack of reality? Yeah, well, let's go back. Let's not go back. Let's go forward. Life has no rearview mirror. But we need to learn from our history. So they threatened suspensions of the students after the deadline. Now, guess what they did? Thank you very much, Massachusetts idiot teachers. What'd they do? They turned around and now they're unsuspending their students. Why? Well, let me give you a really simple answer. Because they have 3,500 students on student visas from foreign countries. Oh boy. I don't know. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is why our education system in this country is pathetic. Because we have pathetic leaders and more radical and pathetic professors. So they call them professors, by the way. But what are they? They're radical professors. Yeah, I went to an American school, that's right. Who apparently hate America, the great conqueror. Just like this guy in the White House. I don't think he likes America anymore. And what did Michelle Biden say famously? This is the first time I've ever been proud of America. Well, you know what? I was born here, and I've been proud of it since I was born. And you know what? Maybe we need to bring back things like, oh, I don't know, the Pledge of Allegiance so that we have unity in this country. So after 58 different times of America's being attacked, what do we do? Nothing. So here's MIT.
Well, look at the, you know, look at the Cornell professor who said after October 7th, and that, my friends, was a massacre. That wasn't an attack. That wasn't soldier to soldier. That was as if Canada came into, let's say, New York and slaughtered 45,000 people, cut the heads off of babies, burned bodies, put babies in ovens, raped women. Is that a war? Is that now the definition of war? No, that's a terrorist attack. Call it what it is. Okay? So now, this professor at Cornell, he's exhilarated. So what do? They put him on suspension. I'm sorry. When you call for the exhilaration of people being massacred, this is not the individual I want teaching anyone anything in this country. And if you can't stomach that, that's why this country is going down the toilet. So here's what I am so annoyed. And I was going to say another word, but we'll keep it clean. If I'm here on a student visa, if I go to a different country, if I go to Britain on a student visa, or if I go to some other place on a student visa, do you think I should be involved in violent protests? Or do you think as a student, I'm thinking, and I would have been taught, I know I was taught, and I know I taught my kids, that you're not going to get involved in a violent protest if you're in a country as a guest. And that's what a student visa is. It's a guest. It's not a right to be here no matter what. Yes, you have the right to protest. You have the right to say what you want. That's why you're here in America, because it's the best country on the planet, or at least it used to be. So what do? But again, the geniuses at MIT and their genius bar, they're apparently dumber than rocks. They didn't give a darn. They didn't give a darn about the fact that these students who are guests in this country engaged in a violent protest. And honestly, I got to tell you, I think from the moment they opened their mouths and said that they were going to suspend them, they weren't going to do anything. They were not going to do anything. Every student that remains there who is on a student visa should have been tossed out of this country. You're given fair warning. You're given due notice. That's it. You're gone. You're here as a guest. You don't break the law. You don't violently protest. You don't get to perform macroaggressions against other students. You don't get to assault Jewish students on campus. I'm sorry. Well, you apparently have that right if you're a citizen. We don't prosecute you anyway. But this is why this country is now toast. This is why the country is in shambles. The society is falling apart. And the existential disaster creating dangerous, violent world right now is our educational system, our colleges and universities, because they have weak leadership. They're apparently everywhere we turn. It's a complete catastrophe. And when you have zero culpability for your own actions, do you still want to be a part of society? Do you want to support murderers? Do you want to support people who cut off the heads of babies? And I'm sorry, did we forget about the fact that they're still holding 10 or 12 hostages from America who have citizenship in America? And by the way, I heard they just found 2 dead hostages. Well, guess what? It's because America and Israel, their intelligence divisions failed. Why did they fail? Well, that's a great question. No one's asking that question now, because right now they're trying to clear out Hamas. But why are we not asking that question in this country? Why is the media not all over this? Why is the media not want answers? That's a great question. Because they are the lapdogs of the Biden administration. They are protecting the widget in the White House. Because, again, bad leadership. But they don't want to challenge it. Because that's where their donors are. Their donors are the bad management people. So if you can have zero culpability, this is a great thing. Isn't it? I'm sorry. Why isn't this a great thing? You can protest. You can beat the crap out of anyone you want. You can damage property, damage buildings, and you get away with it. If you threatened somebody on campus in school, when I was in school, you would have been suspended that semester and sent home. End of story. There would have been a 5-minute hearing, which was already predetermined, and you were gone. So when you don't enforce the law and order, you get chaos. Chaos comes in the vacancy. This is what we're not getting in this country. And now on campuses all over this country, California, forget it. You want Newsom? Woo! As a backup to Biden? Man, good luck. I'm moving to, China, because I think we'd have more freedoms there. And the country, at least the streets would be clean. I'll get into that later. We have a few more minutes of that. But here we go. Where is the intelligence that is teaching our students? What are we teaching them? When they can violently protest on campus, accost other students, make students literally not go to their class because they're attacking Jewish students. But that's okay. Those students are not suspended. Well, why? Why? The CAA on the campus, nothing more than a terrorist organization condoned by MIT. MIT said, yeah, okay, you're okay. You're okay. It's okay to harass Jewish students. It's okay to harass them. You can push them around, yell in their faces, make them uncomfortable in classes. And I saw a video of a student. The professor literally asked this student who was going to get up and make some kind of speech about protest in the middle of his class to wait for a few seconds so he could fill out and finalize his equation. And then the student went into his rant. What are we teaching our students here? That's the question I have to ask you. You know what? I don't think we're teaching them a darn thing except chaos. Except chaos. So here it is. This is what I would suggest. All the students who have been effectively accosted when the MIT and Cornell green-lighted that violence, you know what? Go seek out the services of a lawyer. Start a billion-dollar lawsuit against the colleges. And you know what? Identify the people who are harassing you and annoying you and sue them. Where's all these conservative legal departments? Where are they? Why are they not jumping in here? You know, the ACLU would have been here 5 minutes if it was a transgender student, or if you use the wrong pronouns, you're dead. You're going to get sued, right? But we allow this violence. Start suing the colleges for billions of dollars. They got the endowments. They got the money. Why not? Well, you know what? Let me tell you this. This is my personal opinion, not the opinion of anybody else. If you are now still voting for Democrats, who, by the way, the other night blocked funding for the Israeli war, they're going to be throwing rocks at them pretty soon. Okay? I would love to know who they were. And let's remember that when it comes time to vote, America. Because we put these idiots in Washington, and they're on both sides. Don't get me wrong. They're on both sides. There's not one idiot on the left and one idiot on the right. I just, personally, to me, there's more idiots on the left. But, you know, when Bernie Sanders has to get involved to stop a fistfight at a hearing in the Senate, you know that things are wrong. The socialist that's 100 years old there has to break up a fight. There's a problem in this country. You know, we're beginning to look like, you know, I kept talking about we're becoming a third world country. No, we now are officially a third world country. We are. So let me ask you this. I would love to know who's telling law enforcement to stand down. And I had this discussion with someone. Okay? We knew about this in the BLM riots after. Billions of dollars of damage is done, and we've learned nothing. The stagnation of stupidity is outrageously amazing. It's the idiocracy of America. So what did we do? You want to conduct yourself like a bunch of terrorists? Well, guess what? Then we should treat you like terrorists. Okay? Well, wait a second. Let's go back to the Hamas. Let's go to Hamas for a second. I'm going to jump a little bit over. You know, because Jake Sullivan, the Rock, just he's incredible. How this guy ever became the national security guy is just bizarre. But then probably check the box somewhere. You know, it's the box administration. You know, nobody knows what's inside the box, but we just check it and we go. So let's figure out the war. You know, I'm going to plug in this week. I'm going to try to, ChatGPT or the AI formats online, okay? Bing has one now, by the way. I'm going to go and I'm going to put in, solve the Israeli-Palestinian problem. Well, here's my AI decision from me. My AI brain. Get Hamas out of the hospitals. Get them off the battlefield. Let them put down their weapons and sit down at the table and talk. Wait a second. I think their charter says they have to destroy Israel. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that little blip on their radar. Well, I was looking through the Israeli charter, and it doesn't say anything about destroying Hamas. Okay, which again, remember, for those of you who went to American colleges, Hamas is different than the Palestinians. Hamas is more dangerous to the Palestinians than Israel. I mean, let me ask you something. Do you think after, Pearl Harbor or 9/11, we would have dropped leaflets and told the people to get out because we're coming? We're going to bomb you? We're going to destroy the tunnels? Oh, I don't think so. Remember Iwo Jima? Did we drop leaflets over there? Oh, no, we did not. Why? Because they attacked us at Pearl Harbor. They attacked us on 9/11. And October 7th, they attacked Israel. And if people in this country can't understand that, there's something wrong. There's something very wrong. And you know what? As the gardener of America, I'm telling you, the weeds are growing stronger. The weeds in this country are growing stronger. And you know what? For the first time in many years, those weeds that were underneath and kind of brewing, they're now coming to the surface. And there are weeds all over the place. And we better wake up, America. You know, what was Hamas doing in Palestinian areas? Keeping them under their thumb, keeping them under control. If you spoke to a Palestinian, and one reporter admitted speaking to a bunch of Palestinians off camera, of course, because they won't speak on camera because they'd be dead. Hamas would kill them. They said, no, we don't want Hamas. Hamas is strangling us. But why doesn't the world do that? The world sits here, and these idiots on TikTok and these morons all over these social media platforms, they all put out the fact that there's a moral equivalency here between what happened on October 7th and what Israel's doing now. And by the way, look up the word genocide before you open up your mouths, you idiots. You don't even know what it means, okay? Genocide is the eradication of an entire population. Wake up. How stupid are we in America? You got to understand what you're yapping about. You know, they interviewed some person I saw I think it was this week or last week, from Britain. She's out at a pro-Palestinian, and they're saying pro-Palestinian. That's fine. But when you are pro what Hamas did, you are pro-terrorist. But they don't see the distinction. They conflate the two things. That's the lack of education they get in this country, because they're taught what to think, not how to think. I can repeat back facts and circumstances when you give it to me. Put it on a test, and I'll spit it back to you. But then I'm going to give you something that's outside of what I taught you and ask you, what did you learn? And today's answer? Nothing. Zero. So when I hear that, and I hate to bring up this name again, but Obama, the guy who I actually think is running the country currently, he says that there was a moral equivalency. It just goes to show you that 8 years of an Obama presidency running the country, and he's still an idiot. When he brought the fact up that both of them are wrong, that the Israelis are just as guilty as Hamas, when you lose Bill Maher as a supporter on the left, you've really gone way off the map here. You don't know there's a problem. When you've lost him for the left, you're gone. So the problem with the former president is maybe he was with Joe Biden for too long. So let's see. What did Obama do? His accomplishments for the 8 years. Well, that's right. He empowered Iran, gave them pallets of cash in the middle of the night on unmarked aircraft. Did we forget about that? I didn't. So Obama, you know what? The moral equivalency factor, I'm sorry. You don't know what you're talking about, Mr. President. And no, I don't know how to run the country, but I can see black from white, red from blue, and I understand when I hit a wall. And when I smack into a wall, I say, you know what? I shouldn't keep hitting that wall. The definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Oh, wait a second. That's right, the Biden presidency. So now, I'm loving this. I heard Secretary Austin talk about he's going to do something after the 58-plus attacks and counting against America by Iran's proxies. And they keep saying Iran's proxies. No, let's face it. It's the Iranians with their arms into Hezbollah, into Hamas, because if Iran stops funding, if Iran is obliterated tomorrow off the map, Hezbollah and Hamas fade away like a bad dream because they don't have support, they don't have training, and they don't have money and weapons. And it's tough to conduct a war like that. So now we look at this. He's going to, okay, I could not, for the, I felt for a few seconds that it was Kamala speaking because I couldn't understand what the heck this guy was saying. And the sign language woman was just making the, I don't know, when she's just holding her hands and going, I haven't a clue. And he said, you know, he says, we will do what we need to do when we need to do it. We will do it when we knew, when we can, and when we want to do it. And in our time, and at our choosing, we will do what we can, which is necessary to do when it's time to do it. I swear he's studying with Kamala. Must be. They must be getting the same book. You know, Speeches for Dummies. That's what I think it was last night. Greg Gutfeld. But where did the integrity in this country go? Where did the integrity in our leaders go? Where did it go? Where did it start? Where did it disappear to? Well, we had it. At some point, we had integrity. We also had decorum. We had decorum in our Senate. We had decorum in our Congress. We didn't call each other names. We didn't yell at each other and call out and threaten fights in the middle of hearings. Well, where did the breakdown start? Well, did it start with Fetterman? We could ask him, but we don't know what he'd say. I don't think anybody knows what he says. You know, finally, get a pair of shorts and a hoodie. We can all show up with shorts and a hoodie. What do you think would happen if I showed up in court with a pair of shorts and hoodie and sneakers? I wouldn't be let in the courtroom. But yet we let Fetterman in there. Well, Schumer turned that around, right? Gee, if you're dumb once, give it another shot. So I was confused. I was looking back at some of the speeches on the election day when he got sworn in. I think it was January 20th. Gosh, the time flies. So he said he's going to bring back the sense of normalcy. Normalcy. Wow. Normalcy. This is what normalcy looks like? No thanks. I'll take the crazy guy with the mean tweets. And the world was quieter. People were quieter. You know, people weren't living paycheck to paycheck. Again, I know, it's all about the money. No, it's not about the money. It's about the people. It's about the people in this country. And the people in this world felt safer with Donald Trump at the head. Why? You know, when I told you this last week, I met an Irish guy from Ireland. And he said to me, he said, what were you guys thinking when you got rid of Trump and put Biden in his place? Well, my answer, short and sweet, we weren't. But you know what? Let me to my Jewish friends and people out there who are just sane. You want to vote for the Democrats who block the funding to Israel, who stand on the side of evil? You want to vote for people who support Rashida Tlaib? And New York, wake up. Bowman. Remember him? Oh, yeah, the fire guy. The guy who couldn't figure out a door from a fire alarm. This is the people you put in charge of Congress. A guy who can't figure out a door from a fire alarm. And by the way, he was a principal. So I don't buy that. But you know what? He's a Democrat. Everything's okay. And I heard rumors that possibly Joe Biden is not going to be charged. He's just going to get another Hillary Clinton treatment. He's going to get the Hillary Clinton treatment where they're going to say, everything you did was wrong. You should have never had those documents outside the skiff. You weren't allowed to take them as a senator when you took them. You weren't allowed to store them in your garage unsecured. But you know what? You're a Democrat. It's okay. We give up. Instead of sending in the FBI, SWAT teams, nah, we don't want to do that. Just give us back the documents. We'll sweep it under. Sweep it under that. That's all. There's nothing there. Nothing to see here. You know, the world needs to understand chaos, because clearly America doesn't understand deterrence. Like I said last week, when they came to the border of Ukraine, 125,000 Russians, what did Joe Biden think he was doing? How is it that we missed this? How is it that we missed the Israeli massacre? They may be fighting a war right now, so they're not going to look about it. But you know what? In America, we need to look about it now. And let me comment for a moment on the idiocracy in this country. We need to get things together. You know, 100,000 people went to Washington with permits and peacefully protested. Nobody was injured. Nobody was affected. 100,000 people supporting righteousness. And here you go. Radicalism. If you know nothing about the conflict between Hamas and Israel, the only thing you need to know is what happened. 100,000 people in Washington, not one incident, not one arrest. The other night, at the DNC headquarters, Wednesday night, six officers hurt. 150 violent protesters were apparently trying to storm the DNC headquarters. They had to escort them out. They had about 100 police officers there. But you know what? Are they getting the January 6th treatment? The clear answer? The clear answer, no. Why? Because it's not justice anymore. It's not. It's not at all. You know, by the way, just some tidbits at the end here before we wrap up the show. The appeals court in New York, the appeals court, the federal appeals court, I believe, lifted the gag order on Trump. Oh, that's right. Now he can talk the same way the other side gets to talk. And anybody, this Bin Laden thing on TikTok I heard about this morning, this bothers me. This bothers me because we have, not the fact that the letter's out there, I don't care, but the fact that we have Americans supporting his point of view, that's a problem for me. And let me tell you another thing. The thin blue line has been eroded in this country, and that's what protected our society. And now, New York spent $12 billion on illegal migrants in 2 years. Okay, we're done. They're going to pull those people. They're going to kill New York. And the new, by the way, the Bay Bridge, why were those people not thrown off the bridge? Why were they there for 4 hours? Okay, this is what I'm talking about, zero culpability. But you know what? We're going to wrap it up now because we're going to make the next show about maybe society. And what I keep telling you, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to promise you this week I'm going to do my bit on society. I've done the research. I'm going to tell you why we need a functioning society. So without any further ado, I'm going to wrap it up this week. I want to thank you for listening. I want you to not have a good week. I want you to have a great week. That's it and that's all from America's Web Radio, Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. Have a great week. Thanks for listening.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.